Good morning, everybody. Thanks so much for being here this morning. If I have not met you yet, I would love to do that. My name is Aaron. I'm the pastor here at Grace. Excited to be with you here this morning. We've got a lot of things going on here at the campus. One I want to draw your attention to for sure is Discovery. That's actually today, right after this service. Even if you did not get a chance to sign up for that in advance, you are still welcome to come. We would love to have you at that. If you're looking for a way to connect with us, take a first step. It's probably the best thing you can do. We have lunch for you. We will watch the kids, give you a chance to get to know some other people who are newer here at Grace, ask us questions, learn a little bit about why we exist and how we got here, all of those sorts of things. So we'd love to invite you to that. I'll be there right after service, pretty much right beneath where you're sitting right now. We'll be down there. We'll have lunch for you and would love for you to be a part of that. So even if you didn't sign up, just come on down. You can come over. We ordered a little bit of extra for you. So we'd love to have you be a part of that. If you haven't done Discovery before, or even if it's been a while and you're like, I'd love a refresher on that, or you're just like, I want Jimmy John's, pretty much whatever reason, you can come and do that. I think we're getting Jimmy John's. I may have just committed us to something on accident, but that's coming up. Would love for you to engage that if you can make it. We've been in a series here over the last couple of weeks. If you've missed any of that, I encourage you to catch up and track with the whole thing on YouTube. But I'll give you just a small recap here. Basically, I've got my jar of rocks here, which if you were here the first week, great. If not, I'll kind of re-explain this just a little bit. Basically, we were talking about in the series called Don't Skip the Big Rocks. There are some pieces of life. We built this wrong the first time. This is the correct way. And we put all the little things in first, big things on the top. They didn't quite make it in. Nothing really fit around it. What we learned is when we build this the right way, when we put the big rocks in first, everything else kind of fits around those priorities of life. And so that's the jar of rocks here. Some of you took home rocks. Some of you saw buckets of rocks on your way in this morning, and you're like, what kind of church is this? We might need to talk. Those are for you to take home and think about during this series. Or if you're just like, I need a couple rocks for my landscaping, take a handful. I won't yell at you. I have to figure out what to do with a bunch of rocks in the next few weeks. So if you can help with that. But that's been the gist of the series, is we're trying to look and say, what are the big rocks of life here? And so today, what I want to do, after we've set this up over the last couple weeks, what I'd love for us to do together this morning is look and say, when we think about the big rocks in our life, the first week I told you, I'm not going to tell you exactly what the big rocks are. What I want to do is give you a way to think about it so that you can kind of see what God has placed in your life and determine what specifically your big rocks are. But they do fall into some different categories that I think exist for all of us. So today, what I want to do is give us a look at what those categories really are that exist for all of us, and give us a way to think about them and how to carry them in the season that we're in our life right now. Austin did a great job last week setting us up for this week. We're talking about connection with Jesus. Obviously, the most important thing in this is our relationship with Jesus. And when we think about that, what I want you to think about is it's not just one of the big rocks at the bottom. What the relationship with Jesus is actually something that's going to affect all of this of life that's in here. The big, the medium, the small, the sand, it's going to encompass all of it. The connection with Jesus, what we're actually looking to do is not just say, there's my life with Jesus over here, and then there's my life over here. What we're looking to do is say, if I'm a follower of Jesus, that's actually going to affect my whole life. Those two things are going to meld together more and more as I learn to live life with Jesus. So the idea is that my relationship with Jesus would actually affect all of this. So Austin set us up great with that, and the idea of being connected to Jesus in that way, phenomenal. If you missed that, definitely catch up with it here. At the beginning of the series, as we set this up, really what we landed on as far as a verse to kind of set us up for the series is this in Matthew 6. If you want to turn there, you can. If you don't have a Bible, right in front of the seats there are some Bibles. We'd love for you to make that yours. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, definitely keep that so you can follow along. It'll be on the screen as well. But here's what Jesus says in Matthew 6:33. When we think about the priorities of our life, when we think about how we're supposed to think about our lives and all the things God has given us, what we're looking at is this. It says in Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. And as we seek to do this, as we look to order our life, putting the big rocks in first, that's what we're doing. Those are going to be kingdom things. Things that God would say in his word, things that would be of God, right? The things that matter to him, that he tells us are important. That's what we're doing when we're seeking the kingdom. And what happens is, as we look at our life and we look at all the things we have, the small, the big, all of the medium ones, every size in there, what happens is when we look at our whole life, these everyday decisions, what happens is all of our everyday decisions, all of the things that we're doing on a regular basis actually can be transformed into acts of worship. Ways that we're looking to say thank you to God. As we praise him, as we honor him, when we look at our life, there isn't anything that's void of being an act of worship. The smallest things we do to the biggest things we do are all part of how we live for Christ and how we do this. But there are some things that I think, as we look at God's word, that we see, they got to go in first. They have to be the big rocks. And not just so we can fit everything in life. It's not just a priorities conversation. What it is if we put these in here, everything else has something to set on. It sits in its place. It stays in order. And everything is built around those things we put in first. So these are more like, less like a priority, more like a cornerstone, right? The thing that's going to set it all together, that's going to make it there. So I want to look at God's word today and see what a couple of these are here together. Here's where I think we see the first two of these when we look at Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40. The disciples are asking God for an answer here. They're like, can you tell us what the most important commandment is in the law of Moses? This would have been something they were familiar with, that they would have looked to tell them right from wrong, how to live life. There was commandments there. And so they have Jesus on the earth now, and they're like, hey, this seems like the guy we should probably ask for clarity on this. I don't know about you in life. I also enjoy being told what I should do sometimes when I'm trying to solve issues, not just in general. I want to do whatever I want. But when I'm trying to answer a question, I'm like, if someone would just give me the answer, that would be much more helpful sometimes and much less work than having to wrestle this all the way through. That's not always who Jesus was. A lot of times he would answer their question with a question, which is just an awesome thing that he did all the time. But in this instance, he was pretty clear with them. And here's what he said. So Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. So right here, we get two things right out of the gate that we look at. As we think about the big rocks that are going in our life, these are kind of going to be the same for all of us. And the first one is this, is the pursuit of God. Now, the relationship with God is going to affect everything in our lives, but one of the big rocks that have to go in first is yours and my intentional pursuit of God in our lives. That's not just going to church. That's not just having a relationship with Jesus when I'm a kid and then I just go about my life. This big rock, what is going to actually help our life, the things that we really want to pay attention to, is our intentional pursuit of God in our lives. That's why when we would say, you should have a Bible and you should read it and you should know what's in there, right? That should be the thing we use for wisdom, because that's pursuit of God. God, will you help me see what I should do in my life? Will you help me understand what's going on in this circumstance right now? Will you help me make sense of where I am today? Will you help me make sense of what you've given to me in this life? I'm looking at God's word for that. What I'm also doing is I'm going to pray a lot, because I'm looking for the connection with a God to say, God, instead of everything else I could go to ChatGPT, to whatever your favorite AI is, to the person that I think is the most helpful in my life, the expert on the topic, my favorite YouTuber, all of that, what I'm going to do, not my favorite self-help book, what I'm going to do is go to God. I'm going to pray and say, Lord, will you help me? Will you give me wisdom? I want to know what you want me to do in my life. Right, more and more this pursuit of God. And what happens is, over time, as we do this, what we're doing is we are inviting God into more and more of our life. Pursuit of God is, God, more and more, I want to know what you want me to do. I only want to do that. I'm pursuing that truth. I'm pursuing it in every area of my life. Can I make this area of my life have Jesus involved? Can I have my work over here involved? I'm bringing Jesus into this. And at the end of the day, when we're pursuing God, what we're actually saying, what we're asking for is, God, will you change me? Will you help me to be the person that you actually created me to be? Right? There's a pursuit there of God and all the things that he has for us. That's different than just saying, I have a relationship with God and now I go about my life. What I'm doing is saying, God, will you work in my life? My microphone might be dead. I don't that did anything. Oh, it worked. Cool. All right. So we see that one first, the pursuit of God. Here's the second thing that we see in that passage is your first neighbors. When you think about loving your neighbor as yourself, for sure the Bible calls us to love everyone. It's been a long time since I was in middle school, so when like the 7 billion, 8 billion people, I don't know if it's how many it is now, maybe we can go ask a middle schooler sometime, but whatever it is, that's a lot of people. I'm not sure how we love all those people. I know we're called to do it, so we're going to work at it. What Jesus is going to point to, one of the big rocks that's going to happen in our life is what we could call our first neighbors, right? These are the people who are directly in front of us in our lives. Most of the time, this is going to look like family. This is going to be people that we're living with. This might be coworkers that we see every day. This might be a roommate at college. This might be the person that we see most often. These are the people that are right in and around us. They might be your physical neighbor that lives next door, right? The people that you are most likely to interact with on a regular basis. Other than that, it's kind of your inner circle of people. Who are my deep friendships? Who are the people that I count on, that I can lean on, that can help me pursue Jesus, that can help me with these things, right? Meaningful community there. This is going to change over time, right? If you're married, you're like, man, my spouse, my first neighbor, I'm working on that. Then you have kids, you're like, okay, my kids are now in this first neighbor category. I'm raising them, I'm spending time with them. These are my neighbors, right? I'm serving them, I'm loving them. It might be people in your church community, right? That's all going to change over time at different places in your life. But these are kind of the people right in around you that you could actually grab a hold of, right? Not people far off. You're like, that group of people way over there. You're like, you can serve and love them, that's great, but what we're talking about, one of the big rocks that's kind of never going to change are the people right around you at the time. The next thing we see is this, when God continues to talk about this, in Colossians he puts it this way, when we think about our lives, he says this, Paul would say, put it this way, work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. Right? He's talking about work here, right? And that is good, and that whatever we do, whatever we're working at in our lives, we should be doing as if we're doing it for the Lord, for Christ, the person who saved us, who wanted relationship with us. And when we begin to look into this just a little bit, what we realize is that God didn't just create us to like have a job and go home at the end of the day and kick our feet up, right? It's fine if you do that. Sometimes I do it too. But God actually created us for something more than that. So when we look at this, it's not just to go to a job. It's not just a career. What we're actually talking about is what I would say is the third big rock that we're all going to have is purposeful work. In your life, in my life, we are always going to have some version of purposeful work, right? This may be, if you are a stay-at-home mom, it will be your children at home. Like, that is purposeful work. You are raising adults that are going to be capable of this work. You might be in a career where you're like, that is my purposeful work that I do because my job is meaningful in that way. It might be your job at times. You might be in college right now and you're like, my purposeful work is working at whatever I do right now at school as hard as I can, as if it's for the Lord. That might change. You might have different things in it, but what you're doing is faithfully serving. You're working. We're doing all of that in that way. But the difference is between just work and purposeful work here. There's a little bit of difference there. Because let's be honest, when we think about this a lot, sometimes we're like, we work and then we retire and then we just relax the rest of our lives. That's like the American way. I think that's probably not what Jesus was talking about. I'm just going to go ahead and say it isn't. Right? The goal of life is not just to be done with work. At every stage of our lives. That's why I'm saying it's one of these big rocks. It's because that is always going to exist. If you retire, I hope to retire someday. I hope to go on some vacations. You should too. All of that. But purposeful work is always going to be a part of your life, right? There's never a done with it time because of who Jesus has made us to be. This is work that actually matters. What's hard about this and what's difficult about life is sometimes in this area specifically, a lot of these like medium-sized rocks can kind of filter down in there and you're like, relaxation, retirement. You're like, big rock. You're like, chase after that, save for it. You know, we get told that a lot. It might come down in here. I know because I do it too sometimes. I'm like, if I could just get to the end of the day and relax, that would be great. But there's actually work to be done, sometimes on my house, sometimes more purposeful work than that. Right? There's always things to be done. So it's not what Jesus was talking about. Here's how you know what purposeful work is. Purposeful work is when you and I look and say, God, what have you created me to do? What have you put in my lap right now? And what am I choosing to purposely give my life away to? Right? Purposeful work that is this big rock is something that I am willingly choosing to give away my life to. This is work that actually matters, right? It's not a hobby, right? Hobbies can sometimes be meaningful, but let's be honest, like hobbies come easy, and you better take Amazon away from me when a new hobby comes because I can go deep in the rabbit hole. I have ADHD. It's a new hobby's come and go very easy, right? That's not what we're talking about. It's not the purposeful work we're getting after. This is something that I'm going to choose to give my life away to, not just spending my life on retirement and just getting away, getting to the next vacation, the next break, the next time where I can just be done with this busy season and not talk to anybody, not have any responsibility, right? We're going to have days like that. Take a day off, take a vacation. That's good. You should do that. But that's not the purposeful work that we're talking about, right? We're talking about something that is actually matters that I'm giving my life away to. Here's how I was thinking about it this week is I'm thinking about purposeful work. I'm like, if I'm remembered after I'm gone in any way, I don't really care if people know that I like Ohio State football, even though I really do. That is not purposeful work in my life. I watch the games. I celebrate. I like it. I get upset when they stink. And we're not even going to touch the Browns, okay? We're just not even going to talk about it. You guys need a new hobby, okay? You just need to give up. Some things have to die. But I don't want to be remembered for that. I don't want to be remembered as the guy who makes brisket on a Traeger sometimes. I'm like, it was really fun. I cooked it for a long time. I was like, it's going to be dog food or it's going to be really good brisket. It was really good brisket this time. So I'm like, that's a win. I don't want to be remembered for that. I don't want to be remembered for X hobby. I don't think you do either. What I want to be remembered for and what I want to give my life to are the things that God has put in front of me, the purposeful work of being a father. Like, I want my kids to know that I did everything I could to give them everything they needed, to point them to Jesus. I don't care if anybody else knows about it. I want to be the husband that God has called me to be. I want to be known as a servant of the Lord. Like, that's the kind of meaningful, purposeful work that I'm giving my life to. And that's going to play out different for everyone, like what that actually means and who's in front of me at the time. But that's the type of work that is purposeful work there. And those are the three rocks that you're like, Aaron, those are never going to change. Like, we're always going to have purposeful work, first neighbors, and pursuit of God. I'm like, I think that's it. Those are the things that if we are going to build our life on something kind of as God intended, those are the three. And like I said, like, people are going to change in your life. Circumstances are going to change in your life and mine. Sometimes we have no control over that. Sometimes we self-inflict some consequences in different situations. But the reality is that in all of that is where these three rocks show up. And if we're looking to put intentionality into our life, especially as it relates to who Jesus is, that's what it is. But the question becomes, okay, so how do we live in that then? What it seems like a lot of rocks to move around or reorganize. You're like, Aaron, I built it wrong. You've already made me upset in the first week. I'm like, I've done it too. They get out of order. We're fighting for this. Right? Not the perfect plan, but here's how we can go about this when we think about moving. In Ephesians, it says this. It says, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourself and making music to the Lord in your hearts and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we think about how we're actually going to move towards this, how we're actually going to live in this, here's what's important. Paul uses the example of wine in this, right? Being under control of something else. What the Bible would teach us, what Jesus would say, is that the reason that connection to him is important, the reason why we would say that we're going to let the Holy Spirit and be led by the Holy Spirit in this part of our lives is because we don't want to be under the control of anything else. If I want God to do what he can do in my life, if I want to live for him, I want to be under control of nothing but the Spirit of God. And as I'm trying to find out God's will for my life, it's not like a weird thing that we need to over-spiritualize. Like, which toothpaste is the will of God? I'm like, don't do that. Here, the will of God is in the, it's right here. It's not hidden from you. It's not hidden from me. It's not like, oh man, if I pick the wrong hardwood for my house, I just bought hardwood, so that's my example. I don't know if it's in the will of God. I'm like, don't be weird. Read the Bible. Do what it says. It's kind of, that's the will of God, is that you would live in under the control of God, that God, will you speak to my life? God, more and more, I want to do only what you want me to do. I don't care about anything that I want. I only want what you want. I don't want to be under the control of pressure from other people. Well, you should be at this in your career. You should have this. You should have this kind of house. You drive around. You're like, I don't know. That white Escalade with GMC on the front's pretty nice. Maybe I should have one of those. I'm like, maybe. But don't do it for that reason. Well, I don't know. Everybody's got a pool at their house. Maybe I should put one. I'm like, no, that's not a good reason to do it. Well, I know their kids are in sports for like 5 years already. Our kids haven't even started. Are they going to be behind? I'm like, I don't know. But probably not. What I know for sure is that we don't want to be under the control of other people's pressure, that you should be this, that you should be this. I'm looking, what does God say I should be? Who does he say that I am? Because it's reliable. It doesn't change. People's opinions of me change often, not usually for the better. But like when I'm looking at this, I'm like, who does God say that I am? As I look, I want to be controlled by the Spirit. I don't want to be on autopilot, just making it through the day to the end of the day so that I can be done with the day. That's the worst place to be. I know those days where I'm like, if I could just get through this day, then I can relax, but then I'm not going to go to bed because then tomorrow comes if I go to bed. So if I can just stay up and not make tomorrow come. Right? Well, I'm on autopilot. I'm just existing. I'm trying to keep the bills paid and the food in the fridge and everybody leave me alone. I'm grumpy. That's not what, we don't want to be on autopilot. I'm not looking for the easiest path in life. You will not find purpose. You will not find a well-thought-through life in the easy options. If you go into every difficult circumstance, if you go into every phase of your life and say, what's the easiest thing we could do? Not going to be a good time for you, I promise. All we're doing is delaying consequences for later. We need to do the right thing. I want to do the right thing in that way. So what I'm saying when I go to this and say, how do I do this? If I want to be under the control of God's Spirit, what I'm saying is I'm just not going to be controlled by anything else. My own desires, other people's wishes for my life, what culture might say to me about this and that. I only want to know what God says. And this is, I look at these big rocks. And here's what the Spirit will do. The Holy Spirit creates things in us. It's only work that the Holy Spirit can do. He's the best at it. It's when Jesus starts to work in our lives, what happens is we begin to change when we know Jesus and have relationship with him. There's just an expectation that if I say I'm going to follow Jesus with my life and you start reading the Bible, you're like, yeah, I think some parts of my life are probably going to change here. I'm probably going to live differently. I'm probably going to think about this thing differently. I'm going to value people differently. I'm going to organize my life differently. I'm going to speak differently. Like, all of that's going to change. My life happened that way. If you're following Jesus, yours happened that way. If you're thinking about following Jesus and learning who he is, you're like, that's going to require some change of me. Here's the thing is it's not your hard work that does it. It's not my hard work that does it. It is the Holy Spirit that does this. Here's what the Holy Spirit produces in our lives. It says this in Galatians. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. That means that my life, I have given to Christ to do whatever he wants with. And it's a little uncomfortable, but it's the way that when we put intentionality into these parts of our lives that it happens. The Holy Spirit creates this in us. How do we know this is true? Because then you have peace in your life. You're not worried about the circumstances. You're not necessarily worried about tomorrow. You're not just beating yourself up for your past all the time because you understand forgiveness, right? You're willing to change your life because you know that God is trustworthy. He loves me. And so I'm willing to end this relationship, to change this one, to do this thing that God, I know God wants me to do because I know that it's the right thing to do. And the Spirit's going to help create this in me. And we see this in our world and people. There are two kinds of older people in this world. There are really joyful ones who think well of the next generation and are like doting over them, who are wishing the best for them, who love them. And then there are the ones who really struggle to have any joy and hope in their life. Well, that generation, the next one, and we're like, well, you raised them, so I guess that doesn't count for anything, okay? Right? They're grumpy. They have no hope. They have no joy. They have no peace. And this happens with younger people, too. Everyone's just, they're cynical, right? They're hopeless. And what happens is it's because we're not connected to anything. There's nothing helps set our direction. We're controlled by other things. If we're just trying to please other people, if you've tried that before, I know I have. It happens at times. I feel miserable. It's an unachievable thing. The goalposts move all the time. You can't win. And what happens is, not that this just happens instantly, but more and more, as I follow Jesus, I desire these things. I'm like, I actually want that list. That's what I want for my life. I want self-control. I want patience. I want kind of, like, I'm a parent. I need patience, like a lot of it, more than I ever thought possible for one human to have or be required to have. I'm like, I have relationships in my life. I'm like, that's requiring an immense amount of gentleness, an immense amount. And it's more and more over time that the Spirit creates these in me. I miss sometimes. I have to fight for it, probably more than I would like to admit. But I'm following the Spirit's leading in every part of my life. That's how I know. When I start to desire things more and more of that, that the Spirit's in us, I'm living in the Spirit. And here's what happens when we start to desire this and we ask for it. Here's what happens is the Spirit actually will cause gratitude to mark our lives. We want to see our lives more as get to than have to lives. This is a Ryan Rodman from Akron East special. He did a sermon series a long time ago called My Get To Life. It was great. This was probably 10 or 15 years ago. Impacted my life forever because I think there was a season in my life where what I was doing was I was thinking I have to do a bunch of stuff. And I was even interacting with Jesus mostly in that way, that I have to keep this up or he's going to not love me. I have to do this or he's not going to forgive me for that thing. I have to do this. I have to. And listen, you want to get tired? You want to get cynical? You want to get just give up hopeless? Say I have to about everything. The difference is when we realize what Christ has done for us, that he died for us on the cross to take our punishment. When we realize what he's offering us, what he's done for us, what's our only response to these acts of worship? It's gratitude. God, thank you for dying so that I could have life. God, thank you for taking my sin, these things that I willingly did that were wrong, and forgiving me of those. You didn't have to. And you want relationship with me. Man, when that soaks in and we truly understand God's forgiveness, when we understand his mercy, the fact that he didn't give us the punishment we deserve, when we understand his grace, that he gives us more than we could ever deserve in love and forgiveness, really quickly you start to take stock of your life in different ways. And you start to think, man, I'm really thankful that I have a house to live in. I'm really thankful that my kids are healthy, even though they're being really annoying today. I'm really thankful that I get to be a parent to these kids, even though I say the same things 1,000 times a day. I'm really thankful that even though this job is difficult, that there's opportunity here, that I at least get a paycheck. I get to go to my life and say there's opportunity everywhere. It's a different way to look at life. And sometimes somebody just has to tell you that. I remember hearing this idea of like, what if I thought about things I get to do? I've started saying it to my kids too. I'm like, you get to serve your mom. You get to this. And they're like, you know, they make a face and do a thing. But I'm like, it's actually the way to think about it. Right? When I'm given so much by a God who loves me, when he's created me for purpose, this whole life is about what I get to do. And there are wishes that I have. There are disappointments. There's things I didn't expect. There's all of that. You're gonna feel tired. People in the Bible feel tired. They wrote about it all the time. They're like, I feel defeated. I feel crushed. I feel tired. I'm struggling with sin. I'm doing what I don't want to do. Right? Paul said all of this. We're gonna feel that too. But the fact of the matter is, man, we get to live this life with Christ in our lives. instead of just subject to what we can create. It's a different way to look at life, and it changes everything. And this gratitude will start to mark our lives. People see it. It changes you. It helps you think about situations differently. It is really helpful for me in my mind to say, I get to. When I know I am going to do something that I don't really want to do, just to be perfectly honest, I'm like, I get to do this. It's helpful. So that's what the Spirit's going to do if we choose to live that way. But here's the question I want us to walk away with today. And if you don't have a rock, take one home, because I want you to like look at this rock and stare at it this week and think about some things, okay? So if you don't have a rock, they're in buckets on the way out. Take one with you. But here's why I want you to do that. Here's what I want you to ask this week is, am I missing one of the big rocks? Am I missing one of the big rocks? I understand there might be people here today who are like, Aaron, I've been coming back to church. I'm trying to figure out the whole Jesus thing. I had a weird experience. I had no experience. I don't know how to think about any of this. And the idea of pursuing God, like I've never thought about it that way before. If you're missing that rock, or maybe you're like, Aaron, I had an experience in church where I thought Jesus was a good idea. I really wanted a relationship with him, but I've kind of done nothing with it. Or I just thought that was going to save me from going to a place I didn't want to go. And I don't know. I've done some things since then. I don't know. I didn't know God could love me. I'm starting to come around to it. Here's what I would say is if you're missing that rock, you need to know that opportunity is available today for you to pursue God for the first time or for the first time in a long time. To understand that, man, a big rock in my life needs to be that I understand that God died for my sin, that I have sin in my life. I can't do it. I can't forgive it. And that God died for me, and that I want to accept that forgiveness from him, and I want to live my life pursuing what Jesus has for me. Because here's the deal. He made you for a purpose in this life. So much so that when we kind of screwed up, when sin entered the scene, work existed before sin, by the way. Like, it's all there. But God's like, he's not finished with you. He doesn't want rid of you. He's not disappointing you. What God is saying is that you need to be in relationship with me. And so much so that I have made it possible for you, no matter where your life is today. So if that rock is missing for you and what you need today is to start a relationship with Jesus for the first time, do that. In a little bit, I'll give some time to pray. And all you need to do is say, Lord, I have sin in my life. I know that I'm living this way and I shouldn't be. I've got stuff to work on. I know I did this back here and I can't do it alone, Lord. I need your forgiveness in my life and I need you to help me. And I want to live my life for you. That's all it is. When you do that, you can let us know. You can tell somebody. You can write it on a card and drop it in the box. If you don't want to say it in person, that's fine. But that might be, if that rock's missing, you might need to do that. If you have a relationship with Jesus, but you just haven't been pursuing him, we need to help you figure out, and we'd love to give you ideas of how can we get you in God's word to see what he says about you, to see what he says to you, and how you should view this world. You should be praying, spending time bringing the things in your life before the Lord so that he can help you with them, so that he can clarify it for you, so that he can give you direction. That is talking with God. It's conversations with the God of the universe who can help you see it clearly or more clearly. So if that rock's missing, you got to figure that one out. If you're missing the rock of first neighbor and you're like, I don't, Aaron, you're saying all that, and I'll be honest with you, I feel totally alone in my life. I realize that's possible. Whether you feel alone because you don't see people or whether you're with people all the time and you feel alone because there's just no relationship there, here's what I would say. One is to take stock of who is around you. There are probably people around you that you can invest in, that you have purpose for. If you're a parent, God chose you to be their parent. Right? There's neighbors there to love. There's people all around you. But if you don't have any depth of relationship with people, that one needs to be figured out a little bit. That's why making church, coming to church is important. Not because we're so great, but you're like, there are people here who would be eager to know you. They're probably feeling the same way as you. And what happens is that you just have to do it. We're like, we make the discovery, we make the groups, we have the barbecues, we're facilitating it all. You got to do the 50%. And you're like, that's easy for you to say, Mr. Extrovert, Golden Retriever guy, who loves being with people. Here's what I would say is I don't know of anyone who has died in a social interaction before. I don't. I know people who have felt anxiety about it. I know people who are like, the worst thing I can imagine is having to introduce myself to strangers. Listen, we'll make it as easy as possible. But if you feel alone, you've got to take some action. You got to take advantage of being around, of knowing people, of letting some people into your life a little bit. And you can't microwave it. There's no, like, in 30 seconds, I have a lifelong friend who has the same hobbies as me. I'm going to be honest with you. It's taken me years to make some of the best friends that I have. Some of them don't even, we couldn't have any different interests. Like, we have nothing in common except for the fact that we know and love each other. And they know my life, and I'm known by them, and they know me, and we work in life together. But you and I have to take the risk a little bit. You got to put yourself out there some and look at that. And you might have to walk across the room and meet somebody. If it's loneliness that you're dealing with, if you just need to take stock of who in my life can I impact, think about who God has put directly in your path. I'm sure you have family, tons of different versions of it, and healthiness and all of that. You probably have people that you're around all the time at work. You might be like, there's also people for me to love in my life around me. I need to write their names down and figure that out. If that rock is a thing that you don't have, man, you need to address that one too, just like I did. I know that it can be hard. I get there too sometimes where I'm like, I wanna know people. I have no problem introducing myself. But you might be on the other side where you're like, I love meeting people. It's letting them in to actually know me that's the hard part, right? We're all going to fight for that. Here's the last one that we want to consider, as we think about the rocks. If you are missing purposeful work in your life, purposeful work, something that you willingly choose to give your life away to, if it's work, you might need to look at it differently at your job. Maybe you need to look at your job differently and say, is there opportunity here? Is there purposeful work that I need to find? Because here's the reality. There is no shortage of purposeful work on this earth. There's no shortage of it. It's everywhere. There is opportunity everywhere. If I understand what God says to be true, what he lays out for us, it is everywhere. And I'll speak to followers of Jesus. If you are a follower of Jesus in this room, you and I cannot be on the bench. We cannot be sitting on our hands. We can't say, I'm too busy. We can't. There are people in this world who do not know Jesus who are on their way to hell, and they need us. We need to get off the bench. There are people who need to benefit from your 40-year marriage. There are new couples getting married all the time. And you know what happens is people who don't have mentors when they get married, it's really tough. Have you ever been married for the first 5 years there? You're like, woo. So, a lot of conversations could have saved a lot of trouble. You're like, there is a need for that. There are kids here every weekend that know about Jesus, that get taught about Jesus by people. There is tons of opportunity. We're starting a student ministry here. There's going to be stuff happening. It's not just about serving the church. There are people everywhere. You have neighborhoods and sports teams and coworkers. There are people everywhere. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you can't sit the bench on this one. You and I have to move into purposeful work because the whole point of being on this earth right now is to help people know the love of Christ for them and to help them look at this life in a way that actually seems achievable, that they can do it with Jesus. There's too much purposeful work out there to be sitting on the bench. And for you and I, and even people who aren't followers of Jesus, if the most exciting thing that we have in our lives is to just get home and do something on a screen, I like TV shows, I like movies, I have a TV, I'm not Amish-ish, I'm Amish adjacent because of the beard, but I'm like, you and I, if that's the most exciting thing we have to come home to, if it's on a screen and all we're doing is doom scrolling and we're just trying to get the TV, or it's the project in the garage, or it's the man cave, if that's the most purposeful, exciting thing we have, if we're bored and we can't find it, we have to start to figure this out. Where is the purposeful work in my life? And here's why you can tell I'm a little bit passionate about this, because you and I were not created to do nothing. You were created the Bible would say, for a purpose specific to you. God looked at you and said, I have work for you to do. good work for you to do. I have salvation to work out in you. I have people for you to love. God's going to do it with or without us, but he invites us because he loves us and he has purpose for you. He made you specifically to impact people in this world. There are people that you will connect with better than I ever could. There are people that you could impact. There are situations you could enter into in ways that I could never imagine. So if you sit down and you can't find something exciting, or you think so lowly of yourself, this is all I could aspire to, you need to know that God calls you to something higher than that. These little rocks, they're great weekend activities, they're great hobbies, but these big rocks are meant to be huge. The thing that you're like, could God ever use me to do that? He could. I don't know what the thing is in your life, but I know that God created you on purpose. There are no accidents. There's no, well, that one got past the quality control, or like you ruined your life and you can't do it because you have this addiction, or you did this thing, or you may. There's none of that. When we have Jesus in our lives, when we get our purpose from him, he made us for it. So purposeful work is something that we get to enter into together. It's one of the things that as a church we're going to look for is what's the purposeful work for us to do here in this space? Who are the people we can impact? Who could benefit from what God has made us to do? You will never have a life more fulfilling. You'll never feel more tired. You're going to be tired, but you're going to feel great about it. You know the tired when you get home, you're like, I am exhausted, but boy, do I feel great. That's, your whole life can be that. The worst thing is for us to let this get all out of sorts and get home and feel tired and be like, I did nothing. There's purposeful work for you and I to do, and we can get there with the help of Jesus. Here's the last question that I want to ask you as you think about these rocks is, do I need to carry them differently? I realize that as you walk through life, life indeed gets heavy. There are things in life that just feel like, whoa, I don't know if I could ever do that. Whether that's a change that God's doing to you, like, I don't know if I could ever make that change in my family. I don't know if I could ever make that change personally. Like, that's a lot, that would be a huge thing I would have to lead through. That I'm fighting this addiction. I just don't know, like, I'm carrying this purposeful work that God's put in my life, and it's getting heavy, and I have these relationships I'm not quite sure what to do with. Here's what you might need to realize and ask. Oftentimes, I rely on myself a little too much. You and I were not made to carry every burden that exists in our lives. It's one of the reasons why Jesus talks and says, one, that he will give us rest, that his burden is light. He's like, I want you to bring the difficulty to me. You might need to stop carrying it alone. It's why when we're in relationship with people, the Bible would talk about us sharing one another's burdens, walking through life with people, making room for people's burdens. Because we aren't meant to do it alone. Not without Jesus, not without people. And so you might need to say, man, do I need to take all of this, maybe I have these big rocks, but it's just feeling heavy. And you might need to take that to Christ and say, Lord, can you give me rest? Can you help me to just give me the energy through your spirit to do what I need to do? Make it clear. It's probably going to require some change of you and me too. Here's what I want to do is invite the band to give us a little space here, but I would love for you to think about those two questions during this time. What I want you to do is try to hear from the Lord, especially during this first song here, just to maybe ask that question, Lord, am I missing one of these rocks? Or does one of these rocks need some attention? Maybe you're like, Aaron, I have never thought about any of these three rocks and my whole life is upside down. Like, it's going to be okay. I had, like, there are times where the Lord blew my mind and I'm like, I don't know how I would ever do that. And the Lord is faithful. If he's going to show you something that you need to do, he's going to be with you and give you what you need to do that. So don't be scared of it. Don't walk away from it. Let the Lord speak to you during this time. And whatever it is you feel like the Lord is calling you to move forward and do that. If there's a way that we could be helpful, if we can get you a conversation with somebody, if we could reach out to somebody to get coffee with you, I might even pay for the coffee if I'm in a good enough mood when you ask me, like, you know, tell me a compliment first. Like, whatever we can do to help you, we want to do that. So let's spend this time, let's just hear from the Lord and see what he wants us to do. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for today. Just thank you for loving us. Thank you for meeting us here. God, thank you that in this life on earth, you did not just leave us here to deal with a bunch of stuff. God, thank you that you gave us purposeful work. You gave us people to love and to walk with. And God, thank you that a huge part of our life is the joy of pursuing relationship with you. God, we pray that as we see the areas in our life that need you to be involved, as we rearrange some things, God, whatever work you're doing in us, whether we need to start a relationship with you for the first time, God, would you just make that clear to us today, and would you meet us here? You know each person in this room. You know what they're carrying. You know where they feel inadequate. You know where they almost don't believe what they're hearing. God, would you make it clear to them that this is work that you would like to do in them and with them? God, would you meet us here wherever we are right now?